This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Amen. Joshua chapter number 6, if you're there tonight, say amen. Amen. The Bible says this in verse number 1, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because all of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Father, I pray that you help us tonight. Lord, would you touch my heart? Would you touch my mind? Would you touch my mouth? And God, would I pray, Lord, that as you've given this word to me, Lord, you help me to deliver it to your people. And God, would I pray, Lord, that you do the preaching tonight. May it not be my words that are heard, but Lord, with the Holy Ghost, Lord, preach the word, Lord, to the hearts and to the ears of the children of God as they need it tonight. Lord, I pray that we leave here giving you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you for the souls saved. Thank you for the souls that have been stirred. And Lord, we thank you now for what you're going to do in the rest of this meeting. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I've dove into the life in the book of Joshua over the past few months, and it didn't take me long to find out that there's a whole lot of good stuff in the book of Joshua. And this is a book that is, it's just full. Every page, every chapter, every verse has such great meaning. It has such great messages throughout the whole thing. And I've preached through the first several chapters already, and I've got here to chapter number 6, and I'm finding some things out in chapter number 6 that I really believe could be a help to us as we look at Joshua's journey through the book of Joshua tonight. And the first thing that I've noticed in the chapter number 6 of Joshua is this, that we know that this is the place that God has promised to the people of God. We understand that ever since the day that Moses stood on the doorsteps of Pharaoh's palace, and he made that famous word, and he spoke those words unto Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go." Well, if they was going to be let go, they must have had somewhere to go to. Can I say that I sure am thankful that God didn't send Moses over there to just free those children and to let them wander around for the rest of their days, but God had intended on them to go somewhere in life. And just like you and I, when he saved your soul, he did not save you to leave you like you were. He didn't save you to leave you in the mess you were in, but when he saved you, he had in mind somewhere for you to go in your life. He had a place designed. Matter of fact, John said it like this. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. Can I say we know tonight that heaven is our final destination. But before we get there, God has a place here on earth that you and I should live. Well, now here the children of Israel are. They have wandered for 40 years. They've seen miracle after miracle by God. They have watched the hand of God work in their lives. They have seen God provide their every need. And they've heard about a place that is flowing full of milk and honey. Canaan's fair land was just in sight for the children of Israel. The promised land, as it's been called before. before, and now here they are. They've arrived to this place. They've even crossed over Jordan's River, and they are standing in the place that God has promised them. But before they enter in and before they grab hold, they realize that there is still more battles to fight. Can I say to you tonight that we have adopted phrasing, and I don't know where it came from, Brother David, but we have took hold of some things, and people has told us and preachers have preached that if you just give your life to God, if you just get saved, if you just live for God, then everything will be easy, then life will be so much better that you'll never have any problems. That may be good for TV and it may be good for radio, but the truth of the matter is this tonight. Honey, just because you're saved does not mean that you're exempt from fighting battles in your life. And the children of Israel have found out just because they are in the place that God has promised to them, it did not mean that the battles were over. But it just may be that the battles are really getting started for them in their lives. I read behind one commentator and he made this statement. He said, this is the biggest and the most important battle that Israel has ever had to fight. Well, I read that and I scratched my head and I wondered, did he ever read about the Red Sea needing to be parted? Did he ever read about where God sent those plagues down there to Egypt? Did he ever study the Bible and find out that the children of Israel haven't really had it easy all their lives, but they've been fighting battles all their life? How could he say, did he not read about when the death angel came through and cleaned out those firstborn children? Did he not read about every time that Moses had to beg God to show up and do something again in their life? And I read on and I began to understand what the commentary was trying to tell me, Brother David, and he said this: if they don't win this battle, if they do not fight and win the battle at Jericho, then everything else that God did behind them and for them in days gone by, it'll all be in vain. Can I tell you tonight, you may be faced with some Jericho walls in your life, and you may be faced with circumstances. Some may be big, some may be great, some may even be small. But can I tell you, if you don't win this battle, everything else that God has done for you in your life, it'll all be in vain. And don't give up now, but stay true and hold to the faith and keep fighting on for the name of Jesus Christ. I want to look at some things out of Joshua chapter number 6 tonight. I want to see, firstly, that their faith was challenged. Here they are. They show up there in the promised land, in Canaan's land. And now they are looking at this city called Jericho. It's the last thing that is standing between them and what God has promised to them. And they are as good as there. I mean, when the wind blows the right way, they can smell the milk and honey coming downstream. I mean, everything's perfect, everything's right. And they show up and they're looking at the place that God has promised, but someone else is living in it. You ever felt like you was praying to God and you made specific prayers to God and he started answering prayers, but he was answering everybody else's prayers and not answering your prayer? You ever felt like God was maybe listening a little bit to what you were saying, but he wasn't giving you exactly what you thought you needed? You feel like God maybe was coming through in certain ways, but the ways that you really needed him to come through, he wasn't paying no attention to. I guarantee you, when they showed up at Jericho that day and they realized that the place that God had promised to them for 40 years was being inhabited by those of Jericho, they wondered, why has God even brought us here? And every measure of faith that had been built up before this time was now being crushed because they thought God done made them a promise. And I tell you, sometimes God will put you in certain places just to see how you're going to react to it.
God will let you see certain things. God may let you see certain pieces of those prayers being revealed or being answered just to see how you're going to take it. But can I tell it to you like this tonight? There may be some times in your life that God will let you get close enough to those answered prayers. God may let you get close enough in your walk with Him that, honey, if you see it, you might just get hungry enough to say, I don't care what's standing between me and where God is wanting me to be at. I don't care what is standing in between me and who God wants me to be. It ought to make us want to strive harder. It ought to make us want to pray more. It ought to make us want to do more for God. And it'll just let us get a glimpse of what He's promised. So we'll go a little bit more. Their faith was challenged. But not only was their faith challenged, this is where I want to get to tonight. Their fight was changed. Their fight was changed. Notice this, the Bible said, verse number 3, and you shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. It was a different fight. Now, y'all know how the children of Israel like to roll. When they go to battle, they like to kill people. They prefer to cut people's heads off, if we're just going to be honest about it. Blood and guts is how they like to do things. I can see as they've camped around Jericho now, and they've already had the spies sent in, and the spies come back and they explain how the city's set up to Joshua. They tell him where their strong points are. They tell him where the strongholds are. And now they're getting ready to fight in this battle. And there they are, those mighty men of war over there sharpening their swords, getting their spears ready. And there's some men over here repairing the armor from the past battles that they fought in. Everything's getting handled just right. And Joshua, that great leader, that great mind of military and fighting battles, he starts walking down to the tents where they're preparing for this battle, and they say, boys, we're about to get our orders, and honey, we get to fight one more battle for the name of the Lord. We're going to show Jericho who the true God of Israel is, and buddy, they're going to know that we was here today. And Joshua walks in and they said, Joshua, how are we going to fight this battle? What are we going to do? You want us to come in the night, ambush them? You want us to set a flank up? You wanted a diversion? You wanted send some guys in and they think that's all we got? Then we come in from the back and we just kill everybody? Is that how you want to do it? And Joshua says, well, this is how we're going to do it. Y'all ready? Get your pen, get your paper out. Now I want everybody to know exactly how we're going to do this. And they're all, on their feet, just ready to do this thing. He says, we are going to, well, put your sword down first. Put them spears to put. The marchers, we don't need y'all today. This is how we're going to fight it. We're going to walk around the walls of Jericho. And I can see as maybe one of them said, and then what are we going to do? And we're just going to walk around the walls is all we're going to do today. What about tomorrow, Joshua? What are we going to do tomorrow? He said, well, tomorrow, I think what we're going to do tomorrow is we're just going to walk around it again. And the next day we'll walk around it and the next. And for 6 days, we're going to walk around the walls of Jericho. Can I tell you, coming from a man who was probably one of the greatest leaders, military-wise, that this world ever seen. Coming from a man who had the direct line with God, the man who done took Moses' place, the man who was in charge, the man who's leading the children of Israel, walking around the walls ain't what they wanted to hear. But can I tell you that sometimes what God tells us to do ain't what we always want to do. And it's not always what we want to hear. But it's not our job to tell God what we should do. It's our job to hear what God says to us and then do what God says to us. And even though they may have been great at fighting these battles, even though they were great men of war, even though they probably could have, Brother David, marched right up to the walls and killed everybody that standing in between them and God and the place that God had promised them, they probably could have. That's not what God wanted them to do that day. But God put something different in them. Here's what we're really good at. We're really good at looking back at what we did last time. We're really good at thinking back of how we fought a certain battle in our life before. And we'll say, well, if God used that back there, if God used us in a certain way back there, then surely he has no problem with us doing it like this up here. Can I say that may work for you? That may work this time, but what about next time? But sometimes God's going to send some things along your way where you can't fight it just like you fought every other battle in your life. But you better be found on your knees and in the Word of God somewhere saying, God, I don't want to do it my way, but I want to do it your way. Gave them a different fight. Not only did he give them a different fight, he gave them a demanding fight. Notice this right here in the Bible. The Bible says this in verse number 4, 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. It was a demanding fight. See, not only did God give them a different fight, not only did he say, no, let's not do it the way we've always done it, but let's change it up a little bit. He said, matter of fact, we're going to change it up. And when we do change it up, it has to be done perfectly in order. The way that I'm given is the only way that I want this fight to be fought. Yes, I know you may have it figured out. You may have figured out the mind of God somewhere back there, but when God changes the order, you must be careful and follow the commandments that he gives unto you and do exactly what he says when he says it. There's a preacher not far from where I grew up in South Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, Brother Kenny Grant. Brother Kenny Grant, he was a military man. He was a drill sergeant in the Marine Corps. I found a video the other night of him preaching and giving his testimony. He said, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, he said, I love seeing those boys come off the bus and they was get there in Parris Island. He said, and some of them was so green and some of them was still wet behind the ears. He said, you could see it on their faces. Some had no clue what was about to hit them. He said, some looked like they may have tried to prepare a little bit. He said, some looked like they had it all figured out. Some of them just had that stone look on their face like no matter what I told them, they was not going to do it. He said, but little did they know 6 weeks from now, he said, I could make them eat dirt off the floor if I wanted to. He said they was going to do exactly what I said if they was going to get through my training. He said, I remember right before I retired and before I got out of the military, he said there was a certain platoon that come through. He said, and the class was getting ready to graduate. He said, and as we was coming to the latter days of that class, he said, I was walking back to the mess hall one afternoon. He said, I had all those young men behind me. He said, and I had them in march. He said, and I was throwing the cadence out to them. He said, and every time my foot would hit the floor, I wanted their foot to hit the floor. Every time I yelled that cadence out, whatever I said, they was to repeat right behind me what I said in the perfect timing. He said, and I remember that day we was almost back to the mess hall. He said, and as we approached the mess hall, he said, I noticed that there was something wrong with what was going on. He said, I stopped the whole platoon. I brought them to a screeching halt. He said, they stood at attention. He said, and I looked at one of the young men. I said, son, why did you get out of step? He said, that young man looked back up at me and said, drill sergeant, sir, I thought I was in step. He said, I looked at the man over here. He said, I said, son, why did you get out of step? He said, sir, I thought I was in step. He said, I even looked at the leader of the platoon. He said, the one that was supposed to be the furthest along, the one that was supposed to know more than anybody else, the one that I thought had got everything that I could give him and was to be leading everybody else. He said, I looked at him and I said, son, why were you out of step? He said, drill sergeant, I thought I was in step. He said, I just sat back for a minute. He said, I looked at him. He said, and I realized, he said, that what I was hearing was the timing was off. He said, what was going on wasn't matching what I was doing. He said, but I realized that they were in step with each other. He said, every time one man put his boot on the ground, he said the other man put his boot on the ground. He said it was in perfect timing. Every time the cadence was thrown out, he said those boys were all together in that cadence, in that song that they would sing as they marched. He said, but the problem was, as even though they was in time with each other, they were not in time with me. He said, I looked at those boys and I said, I don't care how good of time you keep with your friend. I don't care how good of time you keep with the man standing beside you. I don't care if you say the same thing that he said. He said, but if you're not in time with the one that's in charge, if you're not in time with the one that's leading you, he said, then we all might as well go back to the house. He said, quit following your brother beside you. Quit following the one over there. He said, but keep your eyes on the man that's in front and do what he says when he says it, and stay in time with the leader. And I tell you what we do so many times as Christians is while we're trying to keep our timing with the Lord, we start putting our eyes on man and we start doing what man says, and our step becomes in time with him. Our step becomes in time with our brothers. Our step becomes in times with our sisters. But can I tell you tonight, God doesn't necessarily want your time to be with your mama or your daddy or your best friend or the one that you love. But what our job is to do is to find the demanding order that God has given us from the Word of God and say, Lord, my eyes are not on you, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God, help my eyes to be focused on you tonight. Can I ask you, are you in time with your friends and with your family, or are you in time with him tonight? It was a demanding fight, but I want you to notice this. It was a delivering fight. The Bible says in verse number 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. This may be some of my favorite part of the story. Joshua has given them the order. He's told them exactly what to do as God has told him. And he begins to present them with the plans and how everything will go down. And he says, the last thing on the agenda for us to do is on the seventh day after we've walked around the wall for our final time. He said, when you hear those sounds, when you hear the horns being blasted by the priest, he said, I want you to look at those walls and I want you to reach down there in your gut somewhere. He said, like you've never before done. He said, I want you to shout, with a great shout. He said, don't hold nothing back, but give it all you've got. This may be some of the most important part in the directions that God has given Joshua to give to the people of God. You say, what was they supposed to do? They were supposed to act like God had already won the battle before he ever done anything. You know what we're good at tonight? We're good at singing those songs, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. We're good at reminiscing and looking back, and there ain't nothing wrong with those songs. I hope you don't get me wrong tonight. I hope you don't misunderstand me. Honey, I love them just as much as anybody does. I want to shout just as much as anybody does. I want to weep just as much as anybody does, because God has been good to me. He has blessed me. He has come through. He has provided. But Joshua wasn't saying for the things that God has done. He said, but the way we're going to fight this battle is we're going to shout and we're going to give God glory for not what he has done, but for what he's going to do in our life. Let me ask you, when's the last time that you shouted on credit for what God was going to do in your life? When's the last time you found yourself in a place and you got the I can't help it's not for what he did back there, but for what you're going to believe he's doing up here in your life? Amen. Can I say, it sure is easy to raise your hand when God paid your bill last week, when God came through last week. But honey, when God, when it seems like God ain't listening, when it seems like God's not coming through, honey, your shout gets turned off. Your tears get turned off. Your hands go back down. Amen. You don't rejoice like you used to anymore. But what God's looking for some people by faith to say, God, I'm still going to praise your name, not just for the past, but Lord, for the things that lie ahead of me. Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you. All the people shall shout with a great shout. And there are some things that has happened in my life here recently, and I can't talk about them. Brother David, you understand, as a pastor, and sometimes we get great illustrations, but we can't use them. And I got a really good one, but I can't use it. The truth of the matter is, it's a place that I really don't like to talk about. And it's something that I really don't want to dwell on very long. And it's a place that hurts down inside. And some things that I never thought I'd witness, I've been witnessing. Some places that I thought I'd never walk, I've had to be walking. Some prayers that I thought I never would have to pray, I've been praying them prayers. And I got in a place the other night, and in my time of prayer, I was praying that God would deliver and God would come through in this situation. And the Lord said, you know what I've been teaching you in Joshua chapter number 6? And I said, yes, sir. He said, why don't you practice? Oh. And right in the middle of my heart hurting, and right in the middle of me not knowing what was going to happen tomorrow, and can I just be honest, I still don't know what's going to happen, but can I tell you what I've been practicing here lately? I've been looking at my walls as big as they are, and I've been looking at my circumstance as great as it is, and I've been lifting up my hands, and I've been saying, God, I may not know how this is all going to turn out, but Lord, I'm going to be careful and give you all the glory and all the praise, because by faith, I believe that you're going to come through. And Lord, when it looks impossible, I know you like to work in the impossible. And just as much as those children of Israel said, I don't know how this is going to work, honey, by faith they believed God. And I just have a feeling that they said, if God was God enough at the Red Sea, and if God was God enough at the River Jordan, then God will still be God at the wall of Jericho. And no matter where you are tonight, he's still God. And he will take it through the fire. He will see it through the valley. He will see it through the dark times. Just have faith and believe and praise him for what he will do. For what he will do. Their faith was challenged. Their fight was changed. But I want you to notice this. Their father was in charge. I dare say that in this moment, in the circumstance that they were standing in, they probably pointed their fingers at Joshua. They probably said, Joshua has lost his mind. We don't fight battles by walking around our enemies. We don't win battles by not fighting. And they probably wanted to look at Joshua and say, Joshua, you are crazy. But I got bad news for the children of Israel tonight. Joshua wasn't the one calling the shots. Joshua was the one following God. And can I make a statement to you tonight? There may be some times where you think, boy, that person's lost their mind. But honey, if they're following God, you just better jump in there with them. There may even be some things where you say, well, I don't know what the preacher's thinking. Why'd he do that? Why is he doing this? Honey, if the preacher said it, that's between him and God. It's just your job to get behind your preacher and say, preacher, I'm with you 100%. Amen. If he's wrong, God will deal with him. If he's right, you'll be a whole lot better off by following God and by following the man of God. Honey, just follow whatever he says, because what he's trying to do is follow what he said. Woo, glory. I feel pretty good about that right there. Amen. Don't get mad at him. Just follow him. And it'll all be worth it all when you're trying to follow God tonight. Verse number 1, I like this. The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of who? The children of Israel. Do you remember what Rahab said when the spies knocked on her door in Joshua chapter number 2? She said, our hearts have melted. You want it South Carolina version? We heard something been going on around here. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know something's going to happen. And by them spies showing up to Rahab, it confirmed in Rahab's heart that what was going to happen was about to happen. Jericho was so nervous of what God was about to do. You know why they shut the doors? Because they were scared of Israel. They wasn't trying to scheme up a plan and ambush Israel as they approached Jericho. But they were so scared, they said, nobody out. Please, nobody in. If we're going to die, we're just all going to die together. Let me make a statement to you. Whatever that is in your life, whatever trouble you're facing with right now, it's more scared of you than you are scared of it. Because it knows when God gets on the scene, something big is going to happen. And when God starts doing a work, there's going to be things that happen that that circumstance can't take a hold of. It can't control. It can't move, because God is bigger than whatever it is in your life. Jericho is more afraid of it. And I love this right here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. I have given to thine hand Jericho. 5 years ago, I was in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Way up there, just me and the Amish. Ain't nothing else up there. Horses and buggies and Amish people. And a strong smell of fertilizer, if y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, I got up there and I was with Brother Jason McNeese. And we was at a men's retreat. He asked me to come up there and come preach to him. And I got up there, me, the Amish, the fertilizer. There was no cell phone service. There was no Wi-Fi. Me and Jennifer hadn't been married but just a few months. And there I was all alone. Couldn't talk to my wife. We wasn't together. I mean, I was in bad shape. I couldn't even get on social media. My life was officially over. It was bad. And I did okay the first day. And the last day came. Still hadn't been able to talk to my wife. Still hadn't been able to talk to my friends. No social media. Life is over. Lord, why am I here? It's fertilizer in the air. And I thought about what I was doing. I said, Lord, there's men here twice my age. Lord, there's men here that is, some of them's three times my age. Some of these guys could be my, not just daddy or grandpa, some of them could have been my great-grandpa. I said, Lord, how in the world could you bring me up here to preach a men's retreat and expect me to help them? The back door of my little cabin opened up and in walked the Holy Ghost. He said, I didn't bring you up here so you could help them. He said, I brought you up here so I can help you. And I was preaching through 1 Kings chapter 17. And I got to the last verse of my message, verse number 4. The Bible says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And I started making my notes, Brother CT, and I said, if we'll just go where God says go, if we'll be who God says be, do what God says do, God will supply all of our needs, just like he did for Elijah. Not necessarily wrong, I don't think. The Bible says God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory. But the Lord spake to me that night. He said, that's not what I told Elijah. I said, Lord, it should have been, because you're about to mess my sermon up. And it was going to be a good one. Anybody ever have God mess your sermon up? Usually all of mine. He messes all of them up. He said, read it again. So I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. And I still wasn't seeing what I felt like God was trying to tell me. And I didn't go to Bible college. All my friends did. And all my friends told me, if you ever get a verse that's stuck, just read it until it gets unstuck. Read it over and over and over and over and over. And I grabbed my Bible and I started pacing the floor back and forth. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Well, I started breaking and I started getting frustrated. Is that okay? I knew God was trying to say something to me, but I didn't know what it was. I said, God, Lord, if you're trying to say something, just say it. And after I paced that floor, what seemed like all evening, all night long, it's like God erased every word off of my Bible except for two words in 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 4. And I looked down, and all I could see were those two words in verse number 4, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the Lord said, do you understand it now? And I said, yes, sir, I sure do. And I fell on my bed and I began to weep, because what my mentality and what my heart and what my mind was trying to say and what it was trying to gather, that if we would do what God wanted us to do, if we'd be like Elijah was, then God would show up He said, I didn't tell Elijah that I would send the ravens. He said, I didn't tell Elijah that I would provide, that I will provide. He said, I told Elijah, I have already provided for you. He said, whether Elijah showed up or not, he said, there was going to be ravens to bring bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. It didn't matter what Elijah was going to do. God does not need our help that to be God, but God's pretty good at being God all by himself tonight, and he doesn't wait on you to see what you're going to do. This ain't no chess match, but God has already done some things in our life. It's just up to you and I to get where God wants us to be and find out that God already has done Amen. Some things. Amen. Already has. And that verse changed my life. That verse changed the way I prayed. It changed the way I believed. And 5 years later, I told you there's some things going on, and I wish I could go into detail, and I wish I could just tell you all, y'all where I'm living at tonight, but I can't. But I need you to just believe me tonight. There's some places that I've had to walk through recently that I did not want to walk through. And there's places tonight that you are living, that y'all are having to walk through, that you don't want to have to walk there. You don't want to have to live there. You don't want to have to fight those battles. You don't want to go to those doctor visits. You don't want to hear those words coming from your children. You don't want to know what mom and daddy's doing. But can I tell you, like it or not, here we are, and we're all faced with some big old Jericho walls in our life. But can I tell you, 5 years later, God put me in chapter number 6 of the book of Joshua, and he said, don't forget, I have already done some things for you. He said, I told Joshua, see, I have. God didn't say, Joshua, if y'all do all that, then I'll help you win the battle. But he said, Joshua, I've already fought the battle, and the battle's already been won. There's just some things we got to take our hands off of, and we've just got to believe God that he's already done what we can't do tonight. He already has. You say, Brother Jared, I don't know about all that kind of preaching. Oh, honey, I know. Amen. I was 10 years old when I knelt in that altar at Camden Baptist Church. Amen. In 2000, November 26, I called on the name of the Lord to save my soul. And when I asked Jesus to save my soul, he did not come down from heaven and die on an old rugged cross. But 2,000 years ago, he walked up Calvary's hill. Amen. And he laid down his life for me and you. And he cried, it is finished, with the weight of the world and the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. And honey, he paid for my sins back there, and he did not have to come back and repay for them. But there's some things that he already has done, and paying my sin debt was one of them, and seeing me through my hard times is another, and seeing you through those dark places, honey, it's another. He already has. You've just got to get there to find it out tonight. I have already done those things. I wonder tonight, maybe there's some things in your life that you've been praying for, maybe for a week, maybe for a month, maybe for years. You've been praying, God, will you? Can I go out a limb tonight and make a statement? I just got a feeling he already has. You're praying that God will save somebody. No, they ain't found themselves calling out on God yet, but he's already made the preparations. He's already done everything. You're praying that God will bring that child home. Oh, they might not walk through the door tonight and sat in church with you, but he's already done some things that you don't even know about. You just got to get to that there. You've got to get to that place, that time. And I say, God don't work in time. God works in timing. And it ain't just the right timing yet. But when you get there, you're going to find out that God already has answered those prayers. God already has came through. God already has made a way when you couldn't see no way. And when you look at them Jericho walls and you wonder, how am I going to shout tonight when I can't find no shout? You just reach down there in the barrel of faith somewhere and say, I'm just going to shout because God already has done those things that I need him to do. And by faith, I'm just going to believe God that he has. He didn't tell Elijah, I will. He didn't tell Joshua, I will. And he didn't tell me that he will. But he said, I have. I wonder tonight, maybe you'll find yourself somewhere. on the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to by faith believe you that you already have done those things for me. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Give me the faith to believe. Give me the grace that I need to stay faithful until I get to that place where I can see that you have done those things for me. We're standing together all over the building. Would you come tonight? Would you bring it to the Lord? Some already come. Would you mind him? Would you mind him?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Would you believe him tonight?
I will ever
by faith
trust him in his presence daily.
Just give him your all tonight. Verse number 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Maybe tonight you just need to come and say, Lord, would you give me more faith to believe you while I face these walls in my life? No one's looking around, heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. These on the altars, please mind the Lord. Take your time. Will there be some say, Brother Jerry, would you pray for me? I'm faced with some big walls in my life, and I need God to increase my faith. There's a hand already going up. Will there be some more? Say, Brother Jerry, that's me. That's me. There's some mighty big walls, some that I don't even see coming down. I don't know how God's going to come through. I don't know how God's going to knock these walls down. But tonight I'm praying that God give me the faith, the mercy and the grace to believe him that in his time they will come down. Hands still going up. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray for these, Lord, as they've lifted their hands, Lord, and these in the altar. God, Lord, I ask you that you give us the faith to believe you. And God, Lord, when we ain't got no tears to cry, God, Lord, when our hands don't want to raise up toward heaven, Lord, and we don't feel like shouting, and we don't feel like rejoicing, and we don't feel like praising. Lord, by faith, I pray, God, that you give us what those children of Israel had. God, as they looked those walls in the eye, God, Lord, and they shouted with a great shout, a shout for victory. Lord, I pray that you give these their shout. God, I pray that you give them their tears. Lord, and in their midnight hours, Lord, and in their deep, dark storm, Lord, and as they walk through this valley, help them to see, Lord, that you're still God and you're still worthy of our praise. And God, Lord, that as you're faithful to us, Lord, help us to be faithful to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.